Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. As always, I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Coming up now is the conclusion of my extended interview with Greg Kaiser. Greg's new book is Dear Machine, a letter to a super-aware intelligent machine, and it also serves as the operating thesis for his company, supersystemic.ly. Based on deep research and a splash of optimism, Greg has carved out a possible future that sees us avoid the dystopias like we see in so many films, looking your way Interstellar or Blade Runner. Okay, let's get back into it. I asked you a pessimistic question there about regulation and fear, basically, of the coming machine age or the newest technological revolution. Your book doesn't read like a pessimistic approach, though. It reads rather optimistically. Why the optimism?
You know, what I dive into and to the latter chapters of Dear Machine is there's emerging research, innovations and so forth that are happening now that I think offer a lot of promise for improving our world. And my idea is that these innovations will continue to develop, and a super intelligent entity would then see, well, this actually represents a whole new paradigm about the way we think about our societies and so forth.
Yeah.
And so a couple of those innovations, psychedelics for mental health and addiction, research around microbiome and the impact that it has on our health, regenerative agriculture, adaptive learning, ecosystem restoration, blockchains, et cetera. So I believe that all of these represent a single paradigm about how we solve problems in our society, and that's kind of what I try to make the case for.
Historically speaking, Greg, humans are not great at paradigm shifts, right?
No, definitely not. But, you know, if you look at our society today, there's a paradigm shift that is happening. You know, it's pretty ugly right now in terms of the way the discourse is. But maybe I'm just too optimistic, but I believe that will rise beyond that that messiness. And over time, you know, these technologies that seem to be causing, you know, that a lot of people blame for causing a lot of these issues will actually help us in very, very profound ways.
So it's a feature, not a bug in some ways. We're just not used to it.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
All right, cool. Greg, I'm not trying to bring you down at all, because the book is optimistic, and I encourage everybody to read it if you want to get your arms around at least the idea of what's coming with AI. You mentioned something in one of the answers previously that I think we can tease out, because we can pull super intelligent machining forward if we go through the blockchain prism. Let's talk about your take on blockchain and super intelligent machines.
I think, you know, one of the problems that we face in the world is that it's difficulty in finding information about supply chains, about where our products come from, and the way our money works and so forth. But blockchains offer a lot of promise in bringing transparency to our governments, to our corporations, et cetera, in a way that has never been considered before. And I believe that also will be, blockchains will also be a key way that super intelligent machines communicate with us in terms of data and so forth. So I think there's a lot of promise there. Obviously, there are a lot of big changes that would have to come to our societies in order for that to happen. A lot of economic interests that would not want that to happen. But I think it's inevitable, and it's underway right now.
Okay. You also mentioned psychedelics. Now, here in Silicon Valley, microdosing has been around for a few years. I'm sure it happens in other places, too, but I just happen to be familiar with it here in the Valley. What's your take on that, and how does that fold into the paradigm shift?
So if you look at psychedelics, I mean, there's a lot of research that's showing it's, you know, not just in Silicon Valley. I believe it's mainly productivity and creativity, et cetera, it's being used for. But there's also a lot of promise. Research is showing that for depression. In mm-hmm. fact, I'm an investor in a company that is using psilocybin for large scale clinical trials, but also for addiction. Obviously, you know, addiction is a huge problem. PTSD, mm-hmm. Anxiety. But it also has this other trait. Psychedelics in general have these other traits of increasing empathy and increasing connection with nature and so forth. And you could argue that a lot of the problems that we're having today are an effect of us not being able to connect with each other and connect with nature and so forth. If we were able to do that, we would be kind of in a better place on the whole.
Yeah, and I'll put some heat with the meat on that, because ketamine has recently been FDA approved for treatment of depression with I believe it's a nasal spray, right?
Yep, exactly.
And your company is what called, using psilocybin, which one are you invested in?
So I'm invested in one called Compass Pathways.
Interesting. I want to follow up on that maybe off the air. Let's talk also about your take, which I think was really cool, how SAIMs are going to give rise to a super system and I think you wrote Beyond Humans' Fixation on One-to-One Relationships. Help me understand that and relate to that.
Yeah, so it's this idea that, I use the term super systemic, and obviously that's the name of my company as well. But it's this idea, I would say super systemic is sort of like the word holistic, but it goes far beyond how we typically use the word holistic, and it includes thinking about ideas and ideologies and so forth and how they kind of flow through our societies and how they proliferate, et cetera, and the ways that we can shift, you know, the way we think about things on a personal level and on a societal level through that type of super systemic or infinitely holistic planning and understanding.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that. I'm almost out of time. I'm almost out of notes, but you keep giving me stuff to give follow-up questions on. Let's talk. Your book is based, rightfully so, on research. What is the present state of research that supports what you are writing about in Dear Machine?
So I think across all of these disciplines, the microbiome in terms of health, psychedelics in terms of mental health and just creativity, et cetera, blockchains, ecosystem restoration. I think we're finding that there's a lot of research that's popping up. It's not to the point where, you know, you can say there's scientific consensus across all of these areas, but I believe it represents, a new paradigm where this idea of diversity and complexity of systems is eminently important and has historically not been really respected as a means to improve our systems and so forth.
All right. My last question is kind of macro. Artificial intelligence and super machines, are those going to pull us through the paradigm shift, or do we have to push through the paradigm shift and then find them on the other side?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I think at the end of the day, there will be frictions at the beginning because, you know, our world is not very efficient in the way it runs and so forth. It's not very super systemic in the way that we think about how we solve problems and so forth. So I think it's going to be, again, pretty messy in the beginning, sort of like the mess that we're in now. But in the long run, hopefully, you know, just a few years, we'll see these massive improvements in the way that we get products, the way that we get food, the way that we get the way that we interact with each other and the way our government works and so forth. So I think it could be ugly for a little while, but I'm optimistic that, you know, we'll pretty rapidly get to a new place.
OK, well, given your expertise and your research and your optimism, what's your time horizon for getting through some of this, at least, so where we can start focusing on the new efficiencies that are basically available to us, but we just are reluctant to adopt?
Yeah, so I think I have 2030 as a time frame for when superintelligence will emerge. This is a hypothesis. I looked at what all the different experts think, and they're all over the map in terms of when it'll emerge. But 2030 seems it seems to me that things are happening faster than people expect, and it's because of this macro thing that people aren't really focusing on. But I see 2030, and then hopefully, you know, within a few years after that, we start see these massive improvements to our society. Maybe 5 to 10 years later, by 2040, we're in a very, you know, in a much more stable and productive place.
Well, from your lips to a super aware intelligent machine's ears, I hope. The book is called Dear Machine, A Letter to a Super Aware Intelligent Machine. We've been speaking with Greg Kaiser, the author of that. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me on the show, Jason. Appreciate it.
That was Greg Kaiser. Greg's new book is Dear Machine, A Letter to a Super Aware Intelligent Machine. It also serves as the operating thesis for his company, supersystemic.ly. For links to Greg's book, his company, and his bio, please check the show notes. They live two places, podcast links or the article that lives at kgoradio.com. Coming up after the break, the alternative fuel standard at the federal level is changing. Thing is, the technology is not quite ready for the change to be net positive.
Those second generation fuels have not come online. The technology has not yet developed. So instead, what we're left with is corn ethanol. And problem there is that there are unforeseen consequences of using more corn ethanol, because it means more agriculture, means more land gets converted to use for crops.
Renewable fuels are next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please do stick around.